قاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. عما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في القرآن الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
محمد. For those who have been with me for the last few days, whether mentioned in passing or mentioned in a little bit of depth, the word love has come up almost every night. Last night I recited a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Who said, Asasul Islami hubbi wa hubbu ahli bayti. He said, the foundation of Islam is love for me and love for my Ahlul Bayt. So tonight, inshallah ta'ala, in these few minutes, we're going to focus on this concept of love. First, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established this concept of love, He divided it into 100 parts. And 99 of those parts He kept with Himself, and one part of that He spread amongst the worlds, the universe. That one part that He spread amongst the universe, He also divided that into 100 parts, and 99 of that He gave to Ahlul Bayt, and one part He spread to the rest of the world. So we can establish from this hadith how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ahlul Bayt love us. But we must now understand what exactly is love. Love, muwaddat or muhabbat, is a powerful, very, very extremely powerful concept. It is so powerful that shaitan tries to weaken it by making you use this concept every place it is not deserving. For example, you know, we love our car, we love our job, we love our house, we love this television show, we love this or that and this other thing. And the reality is, only a few things are truly deserving of love. But love is such a powerful thing, and Shaitan knows this, that he wants to distract us and imply this concept in areas where it's not necessarily worthy. Even our spouses, well, let me take a step back first. True love is only deserving of something that is perfect, without fault or defect. Something that is, there is no imperfections whatsoever. So understanding that concept, true love can only be applied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is without fault or defect. He is perfect. When we apply love to each other or things, it's based upon qualities. For example, if we go to shopping and there's someone standing in front of you in the line, you don't love this guy. Oh, I love you. You're in front of me at Walmart. No, because you don't know him. Once you begin to know someone and begin to understand or appreciate those good qualities, what happens? You begin to establish an emotional attachment. And, you know, love has many degrees. And there's hate is the opposite. And then there's, true love. But it has many different degrees based upon what is worthy of love. So who is worthy of love? Allah. You know, Allah, for example, even with our spouses, when our husbands are good to us, we love him more. When he, gets us angry, the love, fluctuates. When our wives do great things, we love them. When they do, something that irritates us, it fluctuates. And this happens with, all of our emotional attachments because we're not masoom. We have flaws. We have imperfections. So we're, in essence, none of us are worthy of true love because of those faults and imperfections. So Allah, is the only one worthy of true love. And since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hard to comprehend, and this and that, He gave us something tangible to apply this love to. Something that we can see, something that we read about, something that we know more of in more detail that we can, better visualize in our minds, but something that is also perfect, something that is also worthy of this true love, and this is Ahlul Bayt. They are masoom, they are worthy of the true love. And, as I mentioned last night, that muhabbat or muwaddad, love, is the price of Islam. You know, if I do work on one of your brother's car, you know, even if we didn't in the beginning decide on a payment, you know, I have to have compensation. You know, and we'll go through go to the mechanics and find out the average fee for this type of work, and then that will be the compensation. So in Islam, you know, every work has to be compensated. So, you know, Rasulullah, he came, he brought us Islam, he did all of this, striving and went through these struggles for us, and there is a fee we must pay. And the Rasulullah was asked, you know, what is your fee for this? He said, I do not ask anything from you except the love of my Ahlul Bayt. This is the fee for our Islam. This is what we have to, you know, the price we pay for our Islam, loving Ahlul Bayt. Because Rasulullah knows that this concept of love is so powerful. Send a salawat, inshallah, I'll give an example of the power of love. The love of a child, the love for a child can make a 95-pound mother defend off a 2,000-pound grizzly bear. The love of a mother for the child can cause her to defend her child or attempt to in face of a 2,000-pound grizzly bear. That's love that motivates that. And there are many negative examples of what love will make us do. Love of money will make many men sacrifice their lives, forsake their families and their gods for love of money. Love is a very, very powerful motivating factor. Love, the intense love, is also what happened in Ashura. It was love that made these Sahaba defend Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It was love of Allah that let Imam Hussein sacrifice everything to please Allah. Love is a powerful motivating factor on many different levels. One, if we love someone, we tend to mold ourselves after the object, after the beloved. That's the power of love. But let me take a step back, because love has signs. You know, signs of love is that if you love someone, whether male or female, young or old, you go to every length to make them happy. Love causes that. You know, you don't like to cook. You know, a man doesn't like to cook. He loves his wife. He gets up and makes her meals. Under normal circumstances, for his own mother, he won't get up and cook. But his object, his beloved, will cause him to get up and have the motivation to do this deed. You know, love is a motivating factor. It's very, very powerful. So love has signs, which is simple to understand, is that when you love someone, you go to every length to make them happy, to do what pleases them, to honor them, to adore them, and this and that. Another sign of love is that you go to every length and great extent to do what? Not displease them, not cause them dishonor, not to upset them. Love motivates this. So love causes you to go to every length to please the beloved, and to go to every length not to betray or dishonor or cause any discomfort to the beloved. Signs of love, depending on the level of love, has various signs, various degrees. For example, if you love someone intensely, when they're away from you, you're saddened. You may stay up all night crying based on love because of missing them or wanting to be near them. You know, when you love someone, what do? You always talk about their great qualities. Signs of love. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam said, Man ahabba shay'an lahijja bi dhikrihi. Whoever loves a thing is continuously in its remembrance. So whoever the Muslima is engaged, is engagement now. And she's calling all the other Muslimas, yes, all of these great, he's such great, he's nice, he's knowledgeable, all of the great qualities she's mentioning, that's a sign of love. And it goes both ways. When you love someone, you always speak about their qualities, and you always praise them and and emphasize their great qualities. These are signs of love. And if you are understanding where I've been heading, is that these are the things that we should do towards who? Ahlul Bayt and Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. The believers are intense in their love for Allah. Intense in their love for Allah. So a sign of this intensity is always what? Remembering Allah. Remembering His bounties upon us. Remember His kindness upon us. Remember all of the qualities, which every single quality is good. There is no negative qualities. This is a sign of love. Same for Ahlul Bayt. It's more to knowing Ahlul Bayt than being able to run down the names of the Imams. You know, it's being able to tell something of their kindness, of their beneficence, of their graciousness, and all of these qualities that they have. All of these qualities. Love. Love is what's make, as I mentioned the other night, is what makes the Shia so feared by the enemy. When you watch Shia Source or Shia TV and you watch all of these movies on Ahlul Bayt, and when they're asked, you know, why are you so intensely devoted to Imam Ali? Why are you so intensely devoted to this and that other Imam? Peace be upon all of them. The answer is always love. And many, as I've mentioned, but now we'll go a little further, is that, you know, it is not, you know, I don't do wajibat, but I love Ahlul Bayt. That their love is in my heart. No. Love is a higher level of obedience. You know, amongst the ulama, they would say love is performing obedience is doing the wajibat, and love is doing the mustahabat. The wajibat you're commanded to do, the mustahabat you do because Allah likes it. That's that love. And I mentioned the example, for example, a man is on his deathbed, and his servant, who's his loyal servant, is seeing him, his lips are white, he's sweating profusely, his body is weakened, and his servant is standing there, you know, by his side. So one of his companions comes in and looks and sees, listen, please go get some water. So he says, listen to his servant, why didn't you get him some water? And he answers, because he didn't tell me to. So he said, why did you go and get the water? Because I love him. And I gave the example, for example, if you have a maid at the house and you give her the shopping list, she gets what you told her to do because she's being obedient. But if it's another family member, they'll go and get the things on the list and also say, well, I'll get this and that thing because somebody at the house likes it. Love is a higher level of obedience. It's not a replacement for obedience. Salawat ala Muhammad, if you understand. So, in essence, like I said, please be patient with me. I'm condensing into a short period of time. How do we, on the simple level, manifest love for Ahlul Bayt? And Allah makes it clear in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna allaha fata'bu'uni. Yuhibbibakum allahu wa yaghfir lakum dhunubukum. Wallahu ghafarur rahim. Say, if you love Allah, then say, O Muhammad, if you love Allah, then follow me. Follow this wajibat. Follow the sunnah of Ahlul Bayt. Do all that is incumbent upon us. This is how you show the love of Allah. Allah says, O Muhammad, tell them, if you love Allah, then follow me. Because Allah will love you and forgive your sins. Allah is forgiving, merciful. So this is how we manifest the love for Allah. By doing what? Fulfilling the taklif, fulfilling our obligations, fulfilling the wajibat. Fulfilling the wajibat. Salawat ali Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Concerning this very matter, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala. مَا تُحَبَّ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِأَحَبَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Blessed and the High, has said, my servant does not show love to me in a better way than fulfilling what I have made wajib on him, what I have made fard on him. The best way to show your love for Allah, he says, is to fulfill the wajibat, what he has made incumbent upon us. So obviously, if this is not the case, then the opposite holds true. Let me give an example so we make this clear and it's understood, because it's very important. Unfortunately, let's use an example of a husband and wife. I'm going to use the example of a husband and wife. This is unfortunate, but it happens. Sometimes you have a husband who disrespects his wife, humiliates his wife, dishonors his wife, abuses his wife, and at the end of the day, he says, "I love you." He's lying. These are not the signs of love. These are signs of hate. So understand that example. You've heard in many cases when a person has, you know, a wife or two wives, they say, "Well, you have one or two wives." He says, "No, I have three wives. I'm married to Islam. My first wife is Islam." So how do we treat our wife of Islam? Like the example that I mentioned? Of course not. But this is very important, because this love takes us to a higher level of obedience. And we mentioned that this is the only way that, you know, Salawat Ali Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Love is such, as I've mentioned, that it is a motivating factor, and it makes us act even when we're not told to. And as I mentioned briefly on other nights, one of the concepts of this love and this attachment to Ahlul Bayt is that we will obediently act when they give us commands, or when they're in a position to give us commands, and we will voluntarily act when they are not in position to give us commands. When the imams were amongst their followers, they gave the commands directly. When the imams were on house arrest or locked up, they needed their followers to act without having to be told to do it. And we are in that situation. Do we stop commanding good and forbidding evil because the imam is in a cultation? No. Because of love, we continue to do this in whatever level we are able to, even if it's just within our own selves. Do we stop offering prayers because the imam is not here to say prayers is wajib? Of course not. He knows that we are to keep these things up, even though he is not here to tell us. This is the concept of love. If you attach yourself to Ahlul Bayt in the way that Rasulullah commanded us to love Ahlul Bayt, we will act when we're told to, and we will act when we're not in the position to receive commands from the Ahlul Bayt. Like now, our imam is in Ghaibat. He's not here to give us commands for every little thing. So what do we have to do? We have to move without being told to, on every different level. And love is, you know, is this attachment. Because what? We understood that. When you love someone, you will do what you're told to do, and you will also act when you're not told to. You know, how often do you go to work, and, you know, you work from 9 to 5, and because you love your boss, you will stay late? It's not happening. There's no love there. But if your boss was your father or your grandfather, or if you work for family members, then you may do that, because now there's love. You know, you clock out of your time, but you say, "You know what, out of love, I'm going to stay and help you, you know, on your other tasks." This is love. And keep, like I said, please be patient, because I'm condensing information in a short period of time. But this is love. This is that love. And we need to establish that love. And how was it established, my little brothers? By doing what? Fulfilling the wajib act. In other terms, offering 5 daily prayers. For the ladies, offering the prayers and observing the hijab. And there are other of the furuuddin and things that are pretty clear that we do. We have to do this. We have to manifest this. We have to manifest this. Salawat Ali Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And I will tell you, inshallah, you know, it's good to go by hadith and rawayat, but inshallah, for these few minutes, I will refer to the Quran and see those who Allah loves and those who Allah does not love, so we can obviously continue doing the deeds that He loves and, you know, refrain from the deeds that He doesn't love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Inna Allaha yuhibbul muhsineen." Verily Allah loves the good doers. And obviously a good doer is one who does what, first and foremost? Fulfills his obligations, the wajibat. Verily Allah loves the good doers. Allah also says in Quran, "Inna Allaha yuhibbu tawwabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin." Verily Allah loves those who offer tawbah and repent when they make mistakes and those who purify. Listen, we're not masoom. We all make mistakes. The key is we must do tawbah each and every time. That's the difference. We're all fallible. We all make mistakes. But Allah loves what? Those who, when they do make errors, they repent and amend and continue to do good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, "Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin." And Allah loves those who display sabr. And sabr, it has many different meanings, but for this night, I will focus on being steadfast and firm. There are three types of sabr: sabr against calamities, sabr on obedience to Allah, and sabr against disobedience to Allah. Being steadfast against disobeying Allah. Being firm against disobeying Allah. And persevering on fulfilling the wajibat. Being steadfast and doing good to Allah. Inshallah, on another night, we'll focus on these things specifically. But Allah loves those who display patience and steadfastness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves, "Inna Allaha yuhibbul mutawakkilin." He loves those who rely upon Him. He loves those who rely upon Him. We must remember the fact that, you know, we must rely upon what is in Allah's hands even over what is before what is in our hands. We have to have reliance upon Allah. We have to entrust our affairs to Allah. He loves those who do that. "Inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitin." Verily Allah loves those who are just. He loves those who are just and establish justice. And first and foremost in yourselves, being just to your own soul. What does Allah say in Quran? Allah does not do injustice to the people. The people do injustice to themselves. So first and foremost, we must not do injustice to ourselves. We must be just with our own souls. Every aspect of our body has a right upon it, and we must observe those rights. Like I mentioned, please forgive me for haste. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna Allaha yuhibbul ladina yuqatiluna fi sabilihi safan ka'annahum bunyanun marsus." Verily Allah loves those who fight in His way in ranks like they are a well-compacted structure. Obviously, He loves those who fight in His cause. Now, briefly, we'll mention, these are just a few of what Allah loves. Just a few. And these are a few of those who, you know, the qualities Allah dislikes. And we need to know this so we don't, you know, accidentally, you know, go into this area. "Inna Allaha la yuhibbul mu'tadin." Verily, Allah does not like the one who transgresses bounds. Allah dislikes the ones who transgress bounds. "Wallahu la yuhibbul mufsidin." Verily, Allah does not like the mischief makers or corrupt ones. "Innahu la yuhibbul musrifin." Verily, Allah does not like the extravagant or wasteful. He does not like extravagance or wastefulness. "Innahu la yuhibbul mutakabbirin." And verily, Allah does not like the arrogant. Now, brothers and sisters, inshallah, you know, all of these things I mentioned we'll discuss in detail later nights, inshallah ta'ala. If you want to know, if you ever think in your mind, what is my relationship to Allah? How does Allah view me? You know, Imam Sadiq told us, he said, if you want to know your relationship with Allah, what your position with is Allah, if you want to know Allah's relationship to you, or how Allah views you, then you gauge how you view Allah. If you put Allah first, consider Allah important, you know, consider Allah truly great, consider Allah the authority that He is, the mighty, the high, the wise, and so on and so forth. If you view Allah in that light, Allah also views you in that light. If you have Allah in low esteem, you don't think too highly of Allah, or you forget Allah, or Allah is just, you know, not too important, Allah also holds you in that view. So however you view Allah, Allah views you in simple terms. Furthermore, we must understand this, and please understand it clearly. There is no two hearts in our chest. The Quran mentions this. It is impossible I use the word correctly. It is impossible. It is impossible to love Allah and dunya at the same time. Imam Ali, alayhi salatu wa salam, said, "Qalbu haramullah. The heart is Allah's sanctuary. Fala tuskin haramullahi ghayrullah. Do not let other than Allah dwell in Allah's sanctuary." He said, the qalb, the heart, is the sanctuary of Allah, the sacred place of Allah. Do not let anything other than Allah dwell in Allah's sanctuary. This is a big hadith. I mean, this is huge. It is impossible, impossible to love dunya and Allah with the same heart. Now, there's levels. It doesn't mean you do not love Allah. But obviously, if you, whatever level you love Allah, then Allah is, you know, whatever level you love dunya, then Allah is lower. And whatever you love Allah, then dunya is lower. But the key is Allah is, you know, the dunya will end. Allah is never ending. You know, as I mentioned that, you know, our life is one life, children. We have one life, two phases. One life, two phases. What connects these two phases is death. Think of a caterpillar. A caterpillar and a butterfly have one life. A caterpillar and a butterfly have one life. Two phases of that life. The caterpillar lives a short life, a rough life. It can be stepped on. It can be crushed. It can be driven over. And then it goes into the cocoon and is transformed into a butterfly where life is easier for it. Now it's flying in the heights. This is similar to our lives. We have two phases, phase of dunya and the akhirah. The akhirah is the trials and tribulations. The death connects the other life. So if we love this dunya, then we have totally forgotten about the akhirah and Allah's promise. Think about these things. Like I said, forgive me. Inshallah, we'll touch upon these things again. But this is important. And I'll end the speech, end my section of the speech with this hadith, which is very important because it reiterates what I said in the most elegant language of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam. Wallah, ma ahabbullah man ahabba dunya wa wala ghayruna. Whenever the a'immah start with wallah, obviously they're truthful, so they don't have to swear. They're giving an emphasis. They're emphasizing this thing here. They're saying, by Allah, whoever loves dunya and befriends other than us does not love Allah. Whoever loves the dunya and takes as guardians other than them, Ahlul Bayt, does not love Allah. And this concept is very deep and it's on the agenda to discuss. Listen, we do not take the enemies of Ahlul Bayt and Allah as guardians, friends, and protectors. This is manifesting the opposite of love for Ahlul Bayt. We do have a leader right now, and he's not Obama and he's not Romney. He's Mahdi. Ajalla Allahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam said this: وَمَنْ كَنَّ مِنْكُمْ عَصِيًا لِلَّهِ لَمْ تَنْفَحُ وَلَايَتُنَا وَيْهَكُمْ لَتَقْتَرُ وَيْهَكُمْ لَتَقْتَرُ. Whoever is among you who's disobedient to Allah, never will they benefit from our wilayat. Woe to you, do not be deceived. Woe to you, do not be deceived. Whoever disobeys Allah will not benefit from wilayat or shafat. They will not benefit. This is important. Like I mentioned, it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter if you didn't offer prayers yesterday. It doesn't matter if you thought you were manifesting love to Ahlul Bayt yesterday. Today is what's important. Now you know what love is. Following the sunnah of Rasulullah is displaying love. You know, having the guardianship of Ahlul Bayt is displaying love. Doing what is incumbent upon us is displaying love. Now we know for sure. And we begin, you know, tawbah. What does Allah say? Inna Allah yuhibbul mutatahirin. Verily Allah loves those who repent. Remember what I said. I learned this in the dunya. Life is 10% what happened yesterday, 90% what we do now and tomorrow. So now you know, obviously I rushed it, and may Allah forgive me, but now you know what love is and how it should be displayed. Not the love that we say we love our car, we love our spouse, we